This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore on remote location tonight in Soccer Town, USA, Dalton, Georgia. Big high school game tonight between the Dalton Catamounts and the St. Pius Golden Lions. The home team got the win. They advanced to the final four of the 4A boys high school soccer bracket in the GHSA. We'll be talking about that as we go tonight. We're going to talk a lot about Club World Cup as well, with news today about who will be playing in Atlanta. We don't know who that's going to be yet against Chelsea on June 16th, but we at least know who it's down between after some rulings from the Court of Arbitration for Sport. You're going to hear from a lot of different legends talking about Club World Cup and talking about soccer in the United States. People like Pep Guardiola, people like World Cup winner Yuri Djorkaeff, people like Juan Pablo Angel, Colombian legend. You're going to hear from JT Batson, the CEO of U.S. Soccer as well. All kinds of things going on tonight on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. But we're going to start with Atlanta United. It was better on Saturday. I mean, I say that kind of haltingly because it was still frustrating, and it was a 1-1 draw at home against Nashville, and you had the lead and didn't finish with the lead. There were things that were better and there were things that were more frustrating. You get the first goal, that's better. You scored, that's better. After two games on the road where you lose 3-0, really frustrating coming out of Philadelphia and Orlando. And it felt like it was going to be different after 20 minutes at the Benz on Saturday afternoon, where you were controlling the game with possession. Nashville didn't create anything early on. You weren't creating a whole lot, but you were controlling the game. You were controlling the tempo of the game. And you get the goal to show for it. Now, the reason I bring up tempo and control is I think it's very important when you consider what the lineup was on Saturday. This was a group that was very attack-minded in its positional sense, because you have Latte Lott up top. You have Saba Lobjanidze on the right side. You had Jay Fortune on the left, which you could look at as attacking or not attacking. We'll hear from Jay Fortune here in just a little bit as he talked to our own Madison Cruz on after media today, after training today. We'll talk about that. The midfield was Miguel Almiron, the most advanced, ahead of Alexei Maranchuk and ahead of Mateusz Klich. Back line, Derek Williams was back into the team, pairing with Luis Abram, Pedro Amador, and Brooks Lennon at fullback. So the story of everybody telling the world and frankly, being incorrect that Miguel Almiron is a 10 and should be playing as a 10. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The only place that he has played as a number 10 regularly was two seasons in his career in Atlanta, 2017 and 2018. He did not play as a 10 regularly in Newcastle. He barely played it at all. He did not play as a 10 regularly, if at all, at Lanús before making the move to Atlanta. He has not played as a 10 regularly, barely, with Paraguay, his national team. He did not come up as a 10. He is not a traditional 10. If you go back and you read the media and you go back and you listen to old broadcasts from 2017, especially, and even into 2018, but really early in 2017 when he was playing as the 10 for Tata Martino, we had conversations at that time about how he's not a traditional number 10. Tata Martino has said he's not a traditional number 10. You go back to the playoff run in 2018, he did not play as a traditional number 10. He played much more as a second forward. That's what it looked like on Saturday. And I know some people will be yelling about semantics between a 10 and a second forward. And here's where I'll tell you the difference is. A second forward is going to get on the end of things more and score usually more goals. A 10, in its truest sense, is a player who is going to be creating opportunities. Miguel Almiron did not create a chance for anyone on Saturday. He did not do that, I don't think at all, in his previous outing as a 10 this season for Atlanta United. He's not a traditional 10, and I don't think he can be a traditional 10 for this team currently. So the clamor about playing him centrally, a lot of people said he needed to be the 10. Honestly, I think those people would probably agree that he needs to be a second forward, which necessitates a lot of change, by the way. You can change the formation and do things with that, or you have to play like you started on Saturday, where if you're going to play Almiron there and you're going to play Maranchuk a little bit deeper, and again, if you want to call it a 4-4-2 instead of a 4-3-3, I'm really not going to argue with you because I think that's how it played out, especially early on a lot. So if you call it a 4-4-2, Maranchuk's still deeper, and he's in a midfield duo, and you run the risk of getting overrun in midfield because Miguel Almiron was not dropping back deep. Again, he was more connected to Lat than he was to Maranchuk and Click. So that's more of a second forward. That's more of a 4-4-2. These distinctions are important because when you play in that manner, as this team was set up to play on Saturday, you have to control possession. And to do that with the team that you had, you have to control the pace of play. And I thought for 20 minutes they did that, and they got a goal to show for it. They had the majority of the possession. They had over 50% of the possession in those first 20 minutes. They limited the opportunities for Nashville, and they were patient with the ball. After they scored, and after Nashville stood up and started to fight, I think the team struggled, and they didn't handle that pressure at all. I talked about it a lot during the match. After the 30th minute, Atlanta United had 30% of the ball and was outshot 9-1 at home. That's not acceptable. That's not okay. And that's with a shape that a lot of people have yelled about and demanded and maybe deleted tweets afterwards after the game on Saturday. I don't know. It felt like it the narrative changed a little bit. I was very frustrated with the match on Saturday because of how they lost the control that they had. And it comes back to the confidence for me. And when you talk about controlling possession, a lot of times one of the main ways you're going to do that is by building out of the back. If you're going to build out of the back against pressure, you better be confident, because if you're not, you're going to turn the ball over, or you're going to do what Atlanta United did and just play it long and concede possession. And that was only going to come back to bite Atlanta United. Now, they held on for a long time, and they kept Nashville off the board for a long time, and it ultimately is a set piece that ends up breaking you, Daniel Levitz with a volley, and it's 1-1 at that point. And then after that, Nashville could have had the winner. Brad Kazan had a few big saves for Atlanta United. So the question is now what? Because if you're going to play with Almiron centrally to start, you're going to have to control possession better than you did. If you're going to play him on the wing, you're going to have to figure out how to get the movement to get players in the right positions better than it's been. More than anything, wherever you play Miguel Almiron, this team's got to find a way to get some confidence. And that's not something that you can just flip a switch on the training pitch and it suddenly works. It happens through results. It happens through believing. It happens through being convinced of it. But more than anything, it happens because of results. And you've got to get some of those for the confidence to change. MLS is a league that can be very up and down, but it's been too down for too long for Atlanta United after a start this season where even when the results weren't coming, they looked pretty good. They were playing pretty good. Well, they weren't getting results, but they were playing pretty good. Well, then they lost the confidence of playing pretty good, and now they're not playing pretty good. The last three games, they have not played well. And you need to see that changing. And until results follow it, I worry that it's not going to, because I don't know how it does unless there is a personality shift, unless something else happens. I don't know. Maybe you can take something out of keeping Nashville off the board for a long period of time in this one. Something has to give, and we have to see something change. Maybe it's just the fact that you're going to be playing three games next week. You go to Chicago for a match on Saturday afternoon, come back home, go to Austin for the first time on Wednesday, come back home, and then host on the weekend. Maybe that helps change it. I don't know. You're going to have to rotate the lineup during all that. Maybe that helps change it. Maybe you hit on something. We will find out. One thing that I thought you hit on, and I thought he played pretty well in this match, and it's the second time we've seen Jay Fortune play as a left winger. Jay talked to Madison Cruz after training today, talked to the media. Here is what he had to say about his position and kind of, you know, what it felt like for him.
What's your connection with Pedro Grone over the past couple of times you've gotten to start on the left side?
It's been good. I think we've always had a connection, even when I was playing in midfield, just because I've kind of been on the left side a little bit more. So I was always happy to be an option for him. And then I think last year against Philly, actually, there was a little 20-minute spell where I went out wide, and we've always made jokes about it since then. And then, you know, when I found out I was playing there again against Philly, you know, he had a field day. So I think we've always had a good connection over the past couple seasons.
Being in the midfield already, how have those skills helped translate when you are on that left side? And because we saw you in Nashville kind of tucking in a little bit to help in those moments where it was a bit of an overload. So how has that helped?
It's helped a lot. I think you're on the left, but a lot of times, you know, like you said, I'm tucked into the middle of the field, and that helps because I'm comfortable in those positions. Defensively, I understand the role of a midfielder and what the midfielder might want out of a winger. Mm-hmm. So to try and help Clicky whenever I can, but also to just knowing when it's time to be out wide, just understanding the balance between the two. But playing in the pockets, it wasn't too difficult for me.
It's been nice to see Jay Fortune play with some confidence. I think he's turned into a player that needs to be on the field more often than not. Another player who has grown in confidence from game one to now is Matt Edwards. He also spoke to the media after training today, and here's a little bit of that sound.
Talk a little bit more about that overcomplicating, because we've heard a couple of guys say that. What have you guys talked about in-house as far as, like, what are you going to do differently maybe than not?
I mean, we've played the sport for a while, and I think we know the simple things to do well. But sometimes you can lack confidence in doing those simple things well. So I think for us, it's just staying positive, knowing that we're capable of doing certain things, and staying positive through it all, and then keep going with the things the manager says, and really hammering down those simple ideas. Keep going at that, and then trying not to do too much ourselves.
Just having dogs around, keep it positive.
For sure. I think it adds a good thing to the group, for sure.
In a difficult stretch like this, what are some things that you do personally to help you stay focused and mentally reset and stay positive?
try to take your mind off things as much as possible, I would say, just doing things that you enjoy. And then when you're coming here, being as happy and motivated as possible, just to keep going. Yeah, it's a difficult period, but we can come out of it. I think all of us believe that, which is the most important thing. And just staying together as a group and then doing things outside the pitch that we all enjoy to do. Like, I enjoy golfing. So just doing that every once in a while, playing video games, just to stay locked in when we come here.
It's important to stay locked in, and it's been very cool to watch the transformation of Matt Edwards, another player who I think we're going to see over this next week, because the team goes to Chicago on the weekend. Chicago will be missing Chris Brady after a red card for their goalkeeper in the first half. They still got a scoreless draw against Orlando City on the weekend. No Chris Brady this weekend against Atlanta United. Then Atlanta will go to Austin, a team that has struggled to score goals this season, but has been far better defensively than expected. That is next Wednesday night. And then back home for a match with Philadelphia on the 17th. So a very busy week. We will see what it looks like for Atlanta United. Pre-game coverage will start on Saturday afternoon with Madison Cruz and Abe Gordon. Mike Conte and I will take over closer to kickoff. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, we're going to get caught up on Club World Cup. We're going to get caught up on other events going on around Atlanta during next summer's World Cup. All kinds of things next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me for some soccer talk late night on 92.9 The Game. We got a lot of stuff to get into in this segment, kind of a global rundown segment with a lot of things happening both on a very local side and also on a national and also on an international. And then a lot of it still ends up making its way back through Atlanta. I want to start with this little bit of news that was reported today. The first quarter of 2025 has seen Major League Soccer sponsorship revenue increase by double digits compared to the same period last year. So last year, total sponsorship revenue reached $665 million for MLS. That was a record for the league. World Cup coming up next year. Obviously, that's going to help. Rising stadium attendance, obviously that's going to help. That's going to drive more lucrative sponsorship deals. Lionel Messi showing up in 2023, that has helped. More money from Adidas, for example, in a league-wide partnership. New agreements with brands like Sports Illustrated Tickets, Audi, Michelob Ultra, that's pushed this year's sponsorship numbers to record highs. It's not just MLS that's benefiting at the moment. I think this is very important when we talk about this. NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, 19% year-on-year increase in sponsorship revenue last year versus the year before. A separate March report found that the NWSL was the largest contributor to the 12% growth in sponsorship across major North American women's sports. So more than the WNBA, for example. And we know what we talk about with the WNBA, with the Caitlin Clark phenomenon, and many other players. NWSL actually contributed more to that 12% growth. Soccer in this country, whether we're talking men, whether we're talking women, whether we're talking big markets like MLS, USL Championship, USL League One, grassroots, WPSL Pro, everything is growing. And it's only going to grow more. So I get so frustrated when I hear people who work in the game talk about, they're not doing enough to take advantage. They're not doing enough ahead of the World Cup. Frankly, the numbers don't back it up. They just don't. If you're going to look at a TV rating and say that that's what it is, it's not what it is anymore. People consume things in a very different way. TV ratings are becoming obsolete. You can figure out other ways what is relevant and what isn't. And when people are paying more money to advertise on your product, you're pretty relevant, aren't you? Juan Pablo Angel, former Premier League player, Colombian legend, played in MLS as well. He knows the landscape very, very well. He spoke to FIFA recently ahead of the Club World Cup, and he talked about how excited he is about things here in the United States. Here's Juan Pablo Angel speaking about that.
My personal opinion is that the landscape in football is changing, but it also is reshaping in a way. But this is a tournament that is, I mean, this is the FIFA slogan, but it's, and I think he honored it, is truly global. So this is an opportunity for every athlete, for every football player to play against the best from each continent. So there's top European teams from every continent. And I'm very much looking forward to it. And aside from that, I'm a big fan of what is happening in the US. And there's not a better time just to be playing a tournament there. And the reason being is because the appetite for the sport keeps growing at a very rapid pace. Infrastructure is, you know, second to none, is extremely good. And I just do hope that, you know, we can see a good tournament full of fans, and hopefully we can take from here something good and make it even better throughout the coming years.
I'm really excited about the Club World Cup as well. Another thing that I think it's very easy to complain about, really for no good reason, to whine about because it's something new, to downplay and say it's not going to be successful. It is new. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm very excited to see some of the games that we will see here in the United States ahead of it. Now, we don't know exactly who's going to play in the first game in the United States, or in Atlanta, sorry, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on June 16th. We know Chelsea will be playing in it. It was supposed to be against Club León from Mexico. They won the CONCACAF Champions League in 2023 to qualify. They were kicked out of the tournament because of the rules about multiple club ownership, and Pachuca is also in the tournament. Both clubs are owned by Grupo Pachuca. When they were kicked out of the tournament, León appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. today, the ruling came down. CAS rejected León's attempt to overturn the ruling, so the club is ineligible to participate. Grupo Pachuca said that it was prepared to sell one of the teams, and it would have been León, to comply with FIFA's rules, but they couldn't get the sale done before the start of the tournament, so they are not going to participate. We know that now. We know it's not going to be Alajuelense from Costa Rica either. They appealed based off of other rules inside of the Club World Cup statutes about multiple clubs or more than two clubs from a country who didn't win a continental championship. That's been pushed to the side as well. So FIFA will organize a one-off playoff match between LAFC and Club America to fill León's spot. LAFC, because they lost to León in that CONCACAF Champions League final in 2023. Club America, because they are the highest ranked team in CONCACAF that is not already in the tournament. That game will be played here very, very soon because you need to get it done. You need to figure out who's going to come into this tournament. That announcement should be coming soon from FIFA. There's been reports that it will be in Los Angeles. We will see if LAFC gets to host that. The winner of that game will play Chelsea in Atlanta on June 16th. Then they will play Esperance from Tunisia in Nashville and then Flamengo from Brazil in Orlando. So that will complete the field for this first Club World Cup. It's been very cool getting a chance to talk to some legends of the game and hear their thoughts on the Club World Cup. One of those legends is Yuri Djorkaeff, a World Cup winner with France in 1998. Here is what Yuri had to say about the summer's Club World Cup.
Yeah, it's crazy because when you are players, your dream is to play big tournament always, not just every 4 years or Champions League, because I was playing in Europe, Champions League or any European league. And this tournament, I'm a little bit sad why FIFA didn't create this tournament when I was a player, because I love this kind of energy around it. You know, the 32 best team in the world. You compete against South America, Asia, Africa, if you are from Europe. But as a player level, as a club level as well, but as a player level. For the first time, it will be a competition where you can decide it, you can win, and you can become with your team the best team in the world. And it's a trophy that I would love to have on my place, in my home.
I feel like we have this thing in this country, maybe more than some others, about, well, that trophy's not that big of a deal because it's new. Or, that trophy doesn't have enough years behind it to be as important. If you put a trophy with the money on the line that this Club World Cup is in other countries, it's like, yes, I want to win that. Yes, I want that trophy. That's a big deal. You can say you're the best club team in the world for that year, for that cycle of years, if you get it done and you win this Club World Cup. Another element that I really have liked hearing from a number of different people is the cross-section of styles and coaching and tactics that you're going to see from clubs all over the world. I think everybody's going to benefit even more so than the European teams this summer with Club World Cup. I think the teams from Africa and Asia and South America are really going to benefit from this tournament getting a chance to play meaningful games against some of the biggest teams in the world from Europe. Somebody who knows all about this stuff is Pep Guardiola, the manager of Manchester City, who will be playing in Atlanta during the Club World Cup for sure. In the group stage, they will play Al Ain of the United Arab Emirates. Let's hear from Pep Guardiola about something that he's looking forward to this summer during Club World Cup.
Yeah, well, listen, it happened today in the football, even in domestic leagues, there are different managers, different cultures, and different style ways. You know, as you say perfectly, ways to play. So, of course, you're playing against a team from Oceania, from Asia, from South America. It's a new, yeah, a new one. So that's why it's football, right? It's not always the same style. It's in different visions and everyone, different type of players, cultures. That is culture. So that's nice.
We love celebrating the culture of the game. It's one of my favorite things about soccer. And being here in Dalton, you get a chance to see that culture of the game that is different. Very, very cool scenes tonight as the Dalton Catamounts beat St. Pius to advance to the semifinals in 4A in the Georgia High School Soccer Tournament. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But culture is such a huge element of it, and we're going to have a lot of culture in our backyard next summer. I think this summer, too, as well. It's going to be on a smaller scale, don't get me wrong. But next summer with the World Cup coming, it is going to be crazy in a beautiful way, in my opinion, with all of the different cultures that we will have in our backyard. And what's also cool to see is other communities around Metro Atlanta are opening up their backyards as well. The city of Decatur today, they announced Decatur Watch Fest 26. It's a goal. It has a goal of connecting the city to the World Cup matches in June and July. 34 days, free soccer and music festival in downtown Decatur. Many opportunities for Decatur residents, for visitors to enjoy the World Cup at the pubs, the restaurants, and public spaces in downtown Decatur. You've got 8 games taking place at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is a few MARTA stops down the tracks from Decatur, which is very cool, and vice versa. If you are looking for a place to go watch games, you can get off at the MARTA station, which is right under the Decatur Square, and go upstairs and watch games in the square. You're going to have music, you're going to have games, you're going to have activities, food and beverage on the newly renovated Decatur Square. It's about to start its renovations here shortly. Every World Cup match will be shown in Decatur during Watch Fest 26. All matches will be shown in Decatur's 40-plus official Watch Fest soccer pubs and restaurants. Select matches will be shown, now pending FIFA approval, on a large screen on the newly renovated Decatur Square. And those approval processes are just getting underway, so there are still some things to work through. Nightly pre- and post-match concerts as well in downtown Decatur, named and local acts during Decatur Watch Fest 2026. Big announcement today in downtown Decatur. Was glad I got the chance to go see it and also catch up with somebody. Gareth O'Sullivan, the owner of O'Sullivan's, which is right there on the square. Also, one of the owners of Decatur FC in the WPSL. You'll be able to watch those games this summer. Here's what Gareth said about the potential impact of Decatur Watch Fest 26.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, the neighborhoods around Decatur will also be able to take advantage. I mean, this space here, this square is unique. And I think the Watch Fest here and the creating the fan zone with the new renovation and all the big screens, it's going to be an amazing thing for people to come in and a great way to watch the matches.
It's not going to hurt things for you with the pub right behind us as well either?
No, I mean, having been to a couple of World Cups, I mean, I know how crazy it's going to be. We're going to be very busy. But, you know, obviously, if this is a fan zone, it's an added bonus for all the businesses here to be able to be, you know, basically busy for the whole month of the tournament.
Do not be surprised if there are a few Atlanta Soccer Tonight episodes that might be taking place from O'Sullivan's in downtown Decatur, maybe the summer during the Club World Cup as well. Definitely will be some Atlanta Soccer Tonight action at Decatur Watch Fest 26 next summer. One thing we're all hoping for with next summer and the World Cup is a strong performance from the U.S. men's national team. I hope you've had the chance to check out the interview that I did with JT Batson before the Atlanta United media match on Friday. JT was the referee for that. Not an easy one to referee. Lots of shenanigans in that game. I think it finished 18-18. It was a little chaotic in that one. But in my interview with JT beforehand, I asked him about how important this summer is. Gold Cup this summer. It's going on around the same time as Club World Cup. How important this summer is for the U.S. men's national team ahead of next summer. Here's what JT had to say.
I really view this as the June window plus the Gold Cup as sort of the 1 year out, you know, training opportunity and team building opportunity going into next summer. And, you know, we're thinking about it holistically. And, you know, this is 40-ish days that the team and the coaching staff will be together. Really the longest opportunity they will have, you know, going into next summer. And so, we view it as an incredible opportunity for us to prepare ourselves for, you know, what should be an incredible 2026.
Let's hope that it is an incredible 2026 on the field for the U.S. men's national team. A strong Gold Cup run will go a long way to making us all feel a little bit better about that process. All right, coming up next to close out this edition of AST, it will be the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. That's all coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Tyson Acha here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's time for the 3-4-3 brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. It's three local stories. It is four headlines from all over the world. And it's three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start with number one. Atlanta United 2 on the road in Huntsville Saturday night. They got a 2-2 draw. Goals from Gabriel Wiese, one of the top young stars in MLS Next Pro, and from Sal Masafero on a really well-worked set piece. The twos then went into the shootout for a bonus point. Jaden Hibbert made a save. They got the shootout win. They got 2 points in the standings. And this Atlanta United 2 team is proving to be hard to beat. Now, they need to turn more of those draws into outright wins, but this is a team that's showing some character. It's been a fun team to watch, Atlanta United 2 this season. They will be back at home, not this weekend, but the following weekend for a Sunday night match in Kennesaw at Fifth Third Stadium. All right, let's get caught up on Georgia high school soccer in the local section here. Let's start on the girls' side. Two games today, Cherokee Bluff with a big win, 10-0 over Gilmer. Holy Innocents went on the road to Hebron Christian and won 2-1. So let's see if we can take a look at the brackets in Georgia high school soccer for the semifinals on the girls' side. In 6A, West Forsyth trying to defend their state title. They will be on the road at Buford, who knocked off previously unbeaten Brookwood last night. Walton, they will host Lambert in the other semifinal. That is 6A. We'll move over to the private side real quick. Holy Innocents, who won tonight, they will go to Lovett, while Greater Atlanta Christian will host Whitfield Academy. 5A on the girls' side, semifinals. We know it's going to be Greenbrier. They are on the road at Northgate in Noonan. Greenbrier knocked off Lassiter, who had been making a big run. Pope will go to unbeaten Roswell in the other semifinal. Roswell has maintained that unbeaten record. They beat Habersham Central 4-1 yesterday. 4A. It's going to be Cambridge at Marist on one side of the bracket, Blessed Trinity at Allatoona on the other side. In 3A, Jefferson will host Cherokee Bluff, and we will be at Whitewater High School in Fayette County on Thursday night for our SDH Network broadcast of Whitewater hosting Oconee County. That's going to be on Thursday night. You can listen going to soccerdownhere.net, clicking listen on the homepage. You can also pull up our feed on Mixlr as well. 2A, girls semifinals, Pike County hosting Cahulla Creek. Morgan County will be on the road at Savannah Arts. Single A D1, it's going to be Bremen hosting Social Circle. That should be a really good game. Model at Ace Charter. And in Single A D2, it will be Irwin County hosting Atlanta Classical and Tryon hosting Lake Oconee Academy. That's your girls' brackets. Boys, we don't have all the finals in just yet, but scores from tonight. I mentioned Dalton with the big win, and this is the number three on the headlines and the local side, by the way, as part of the 3-4-3. Dalton, the Catamounts, with a big win. They fell behind to St. Pius. They conceded first and then came back. Two goals from Joe Gonzalez. One was a absolutely ridiculous free kick. We'll have video of it shortly on Soccer Down Here. And the other was a penalty in the second half. Dalton got the win. They did lose one of their forwards due to injury in the match, and it doesn't look like he'll be back for their game on Friday, where they will be hosting Westminster. Westminster got a big win. And I said it at the end of our broadcast on the SDH Network. It was very cool to see the vibe in Dalton tonight. A very serious soccer crowd, a very into it soccer crowd, great traveling support for St. Pius as well. A really well-played game, dealing with pressure, dealing with expectations. It was very, very cool to see. Really good game. Dalton got the win over St. Pius. Two of the winningest programs in state history, and now you get Westminster coming to Dalton on Friday, and Westminster is also one of the winningest programs in Georgia soccer, high school soccer history. Other scores on the boys' side today, Single A D2, Atkinson County, 1-0 win over Atlanta Classical. These are all quarterfinal games. Hebron Christian went to 18-1 with a 3-1 win at home against Savannah Country Day. Model, 5-1 win at home over Rabun County in Single A D1. Jefferson went on the road way down south to Islands and won 1-0. They will be in the semifinals on Friday. Decula lost 2-1 at Grayson. Grayson is 19-1 overall. Big win in 6A for Grayson. Cahulla Creek, they went to Columbus and won in extra time. Tryon, 4-2 winners over GMC and Single A D2. River Ridge, 6-1 win at Veterans. River Ridge, 17-1. In many polls, they're the number one team in all classifications across the state of Georgia. They're into the semifinals. Mill Creek, 2-1 win at Pebblebrook. That was in penalties, so 1-1 through extra time. And then Mill Creek won the shootout and upset there. Sprayberry, 17-2 overall. They will move into the semifinals. 4-1 win at home against Clark Central. Whitfield Academy, 3-1 win at Providence Christian today. Johnson of Gainesville, they had one of the craziest journeys to get to the semifinals. So they went to Calhoun on Friday. We were there to call that match. Played 28 minutes or 27 minutes and some change in that one. Storms happened. They couldn't get the game finished. The field was unplayable. They tried to play it on Saturday. Storms were not going to cooperate. They weren't going to be able to play on Saturday. They ended up playing it yesterday. So Johnson from Gainesville to Calhoun, about an hour 45. So they had to come over, play the game. They conceded. It was 1-1 at halftime. And then Johnson ended up winning it 2-1 yesterday. Then they had to turn around and go back home. So about a 3.5-hour drive back and forth. Then they had to host Chastity tonight, and they won 3-1. So Johnson is into the semifinals. They came up short against Westminster in the state championship game last year. Oconee County also into the semifinals in 3A, 10-0 win against Mary Persons. Duluth, 2-0 win at Collins Hill. Campbell, 5-0 win at home against Discovery. Those are the scores that we have reported as of now. Let's get into the headlines from around the world. The midfield section of the 3-4-3. Number one, Champions League. Oh my goodness, this series between Inter and Barcelona, an all-time classic in Champions League history. 7-6 on aggregate Inter. They came back and they won this thing. 2 minutes of added time left. They were down 3-2 on the night. They were heading out of the tournament. And their center back, who had never scored in European competition before, Francesco Acerbi, he scored to level it. 37 years old. He's running around like a lunatic. Then it goes to extra time. David Fratesi, He wins it. Beautiful left-footed curler into the bottom corner. Barca threw everything at Inter. Even after that, Lamine Yamal twice denied by huge saves from Yann Sommer. One of them, one of the best saves I've ever seen when you take everything into consideration. Barcelona was great. Inter were just that much better. Barca were down 2-0 in this one at halftime. They came all the way back to lead 3-2. Then they gave up two more, and they end up losing 4-3 on the night, 7-6 on aggregate. I don't think tomorrow's game between PSG and Arsenal can live up to it. PSG has a 1-0 lead going back to Paris to host Arsenal. Arsenal could win 5 straight games away from home in major European competition for the first time in their history. PSG have that advantage. The Opta prediction model gives them a 45.4% chance of winning the fixture, a 24.6% chance of going to extra time first. History is against Arsenal. Only 2 teams have ever reached the Champions League final, having lost the first leg of their semifinal at home. We'll see if Arsenal can do that tomorrow. Number 2 on the headlines, Carlo Ancelotti. Reports are that he has agreed that he will leave Real Madrid at the end of the season. Reports are that he will take over as the manager of the Brazilian national team through next summer's World Cup. None of that's done yet. Reports are that it could happen as soon as after this weekend's Superclásico with Real Madrid and Barcelona, especially if Barcelona wins, and it's pretty much then ruled out that Real Madrid could catch them in La Liga. Brazil wants to get the deal done now. Real Madrid doesn't want to spend any money for Ancelotti to leave and get a severance package. It's very complicated. Xabi Alonso is waiting in the wings potentially for Real Madrid, although they got to do a deal with Bayer Leverkusen to make that happen. There'd been talk about Jurgen Klopp potentially being in the mix. Doesn't sound like that's going to go down, but it doesn't sound like Xabi Alonso would be in place for the Club World Cup either. Santiago Solari, who's been a previous interim director of football for Real Madrid, he might be in charge during the Club World Cup. Number 3 on the headlines. Let's stay in the United States for this one. The Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup third round, round of 32, underway. DC United, after extra time, a 2-0 home win over the Charleston Battery. Charlotte needed extra time going up the road to carry North Carolina against North Carolina FC. Very fractured kind of game. Two teams that didn't seem to really like each other very much. But after extra time, Charlotte won 4-1. So a very busy extra time session between Charlotte and North Carolina. Nashville got the win against the Chattanooga Red Wolves, 1-0 in Nashville. The New York Red Bulls went on the road to Colorado Springs, the defending USL Championship champions, and the Red Bulls won 4-1. And we might have a cup set. It's the 88th minute right now. Tacoma Defiance, the affiliate in MLS Next Pro of the Seattle Sounders, leading 2-1 over the first team from the Portland Timbers. Games tomorrow, Pittsburgh Riverhounds host NYC. Tampa Bay Rowdies host Orlando. That could be a good one to watch. Lou City hosting Minnesota. 7:30 starts for all of those. Philadelphia Union hosting Indy 11. Rhode Island hosting New England Revolution. That could be another fun one to watch. Atlanta United will be watching Chicago Fire as they host Detroit City. Dallas hosting AV Alta. St. Louis hosting Union Omaha. Austin FC hosting El Paso Locomotive. Phoenix Rising hosting Houston Dynamo. And another one that could be fun to watch, San Jose Earthquakes hosting Sacramento Republic. That'll be your nightcap tomorrow night starting at 10:30. Number 4 on the headlines, Colchester United in England. They're in advanced talks for a takeover with a U.S.-led consortium, which is headed by businessman Tim Foley. So a lot of you have heard of the story of Wrexham and Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney paying $2.5 million to buy the team when they were in non-league. And it was kind of a joke that they would be in consideration to actually make their way up to the Premier League. Well, they're going to be in the league below the Premier League next season. They're going to be in the English Championship. That $2.5 million has turned into a lot more. And there's a whole lot more potentially on the other side of the rainbow if they can get through. They've already advanced up 3 leagues in 3 years. Nobody's ever gone all the way up from non-league to the Premier League. But when you see somebody get close, then everybody wants to buy in and have that opportunity for that lottery ticket, right? So Tim Foley is trying to get into that lottery ticket conversation right now. If you are looking at this, and we'll see if he can do it. This is a team that has been in League Two, the fourth tier, for 9 straight years. It's going to be a long road for them. 3 things that make me smile quickly on this edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Number one, always smile when I come to Dalton, Soccer Town, USA, and see a game like we saw today and see a performance like we saw today. And it's the number two, Joe Gonzalez, who had 2 goals. This is a clutch player that if you are a college program in the state of Georgia and you are looking for a central midfielder who has grapefruits, stones, let's say, in clutch situations, he's got the clutch gene. He's a guy that you want. Set pieces, deadly, but just a really good player all the way around and plays with his heart on his sleeve. Really enjoy Joe Gonzalez and what we've seen from him this season. And number three, look, everything that's starting to build up around the Club World Cup, I'm very excited about some of these matchups that we're going to see in Atlanta and across the country. Yeah, it's a new tournament, but I think there's so much promise for what it can be. I don't think it'll get there all in its first edition, but I think it can start on a pathway to a lot of fun and a really meaningful competition in the years and decades to come. That's going to do it for me on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We'll be back with soccer on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app on Saturday, 1:30 start time for the Five Stripes Countdown with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz. Kickoff will be after 2:30 from Chicago, Atlanta United at the Chicago Fire. And then AST will be back next week, 10 o'clock on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app from Austin, Texas, as we get ready for Atlanta and Austin. Thank you for spending some time with me. Adios, everybody.